on Cape Talk.
It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock, end of the first school week, I suppose, for the year 2020. Joining me on the line now is Paul Colditz, the CEO of the Federation of School Governing Bodies. Let me get the official title, CEO of Federation of Governing Bodies of South Africa. Paul, lovely to chat to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Africa, and thank you for the opportunity.
Before perhaps we talk about what we're going to talk about regarding the amendments to the Schools Act, from your vantage point, everything went swimmingly well for the start of the new school year?
Well, yes, yes, indeed. In most provinces, I mean, everybody is aware of the problems in Gauteng and to some extent in the Western Cape, but in the rest of the country, it went well. There have been some incidents, but in general, okay.
Which is good to hear. The Department of Basic Education wanting to make some amendments to the South African Schools Act that will impact, I suppose, on how particularly school governing bodies are able to function and what they are able to or not able to do anymore. Previously, or at least currently, the situation is that the school governing body is able to make recommendations to the department as to who should be appointed to the role of principal, deputy principal, as well as heads of departments. And my understanding is that you give three recommendations in order of preference. What is proposed by the amendment, and what is the Federation's view on those proposals?
The present proposal by the Department of Basic Education is that school governing bodies will in future only have the power to recommend for appointment post-level 1 and 2 teachers. Post-level 1 being the entry level, your ordinary class teacher. Post-level 2 is heads of department at a school, and then you have principals and deputy principals. And the proposal on the table at the moment is that school governing bodies will not have the power to recommend for appointment deputy principals and principals, and that will be done by a panel of departmental officials, and only the SGB chair, the school governing body chair, will be invited to participate in that process, and that we find unacceptable.
Why?
In fact, all the unions and all the school governing body associations are opposed to it. Well, first of all, number one, the government says, and we all, I think, have bought into that education is a societal matter. In other words, society, the school community must take responsibility for the school, for the running of the school. And if you, and then the school governing body, obviously, is the body representing the school community, the society. Now, if you're going to take away that power of a school governing body, you're alienating society from the school, because we know that there's been reports commissioned by the Minister of Education into the selling of posts, where principals, well, people in a corrupt manner offer money to get appointed as principals, and that is done by the departmental officials. Remember that even though a governing body can recommend a principal or deputy principal for appointment, it must be done, as you quite correctly said. Three names must be submitted in order of preference, and the final decision is with the head of department or a person delegated by the head of the provincial department of education. So the final decision has always been a decision of the Department of Education, and they may only deviate from that recommendation if there are rational reasons to do so. So why change that? That's the first point, I think, that needs to be made. Secondly, the problem was this buying of posts, and no school governing body has been pointed up as having been involved in the buying of posts in any manner whatsoever. So now what you're actually doing is making Wolf Shepherd by appointing panel of departmental officials, those very people that have been involved in the selling of posts.
Let me ask two questions then in playing devil's advocate here for a second, Paul. One, we have different quintile systems, right? I mean, quintiles in our education system, 1 through 5, I think is the number.
That's correct.
A school that is in a quintile 4 or 5 level is generally well resourced. So therefore, the parent sort of body they'll be able to draw from as far as the school governing body makeup is concerned, generally will be professionals, people with skills that would be essential in, amongst other things, conducting interviews for the very important role of school principal. However, schools in quintile 1, generally in poorer areas, probably have very minimal parent involvement, where, and I certainly have received calls where, school heads have really complained about the fact that parents are not coming to school meetings and not coming to AGMs and all those kind of things that are a necessary part of running an efficient school. And more importantly, those parents perhaps might not have the requisite skills that will determine that Paul actually is a better person to appoint as a head of school than what Africa is. So having a committee set up by the Department of Basic Education will help smooth that process out, won't it?
There are many responses to that. First of all, it's not correct to say that because you're in quintile 1, 2, 3, for example, that parental involvement is low. That is not that's a generalization. It may be just the other way around, where, for example, in quintile 5, you say you have people there with, you may have people there, professionals with expertise, et cetera, et cetera. Parents may say, okay, we've voted for these people, they know what they're doing, so as parents, we're not going to be involved or committed to the school's activities. You have qualified people to do that. The second thing is, if it is true that the levels of expertise, knowledge, et cetera, at a particular school is low, then the problem is that expertise and capacity needs to be developed. The problem is not taking away the power, or the solution is not taking away the power to make that recommendation. The problem is capacitate those people, and that is not being done. I've personally written to provincial departments of education on a number of occasions to say, listen, we have the expertise as the Federation. We have the expertise, we have the knowledge, we have the capacity to train these people, to capacitate them. Give us the opportunity to do so. The law allows you to do so. And then I don't get any response. Yet, some people may complain, but these people don't have the capacity. There are mechanisms to make sure that they do get the capacity. Thirdly, if it is felt that a particular governing body does not have the capacity to make a proper recommendation, the head of department has the power in terms of the Schools Act to withdraw that particular function from that particular governing body and then appoint competent people to do the job. Those are the responses. Those are the correct manners in dealing with this, not throwing out the blanket to take away every power or every school governing body's power. If you're going to do that, departmental officials don't know the school. They don't know the character, the culture, the parent community of the school. They don't know the teachers at the school. They don't know what a particular school requires in terms of leadership. The community knows that. The school governing body knows that. So they appoint then a person who is not acceptable to the school community, and that would be the end of that particular school.
Which then leads me to my second question, still playing devil's advocate. Will the representation of the chair of the school governing body in this committee not be sufficient, do you not think, to ventilate the issues you've just highlighted now?
Well, he's outnumbered. He's outnumbered, or she is outnumbered 3-1. It can be outvoted. It doesn't matter what he says or what she says. he or she is just outnumbered by bureaucrats who may not have the best interest of a particular school at heart, whereas a governing body should, as a collective, be able, and that is the requirement of the law at the moment, is that a governing body eventually, as a collective, must make a decision of the three best persons placed in order of preference to take the school forward.
I should note, by the way, that the amendments as suggested to the South African Schools Act of 1996 also include or impact on language policy, outside persons being appointed to advise the minister on curriculum, as well as the application of religious practices in that school. The closing date for the public participation process was the 15th of January, I believe. It was an unfortunate time, was it not? The department releasing the document for public participation between the 15th of December and 15th of January, when quite frankly all of us are on a school holiday and enjoying a break. What happens next in the process, Paul, as far as you know?
Let me just correct the position. What happened was that we requested the minister, before this document goes out for public comment, to share it with direct stakeholders such as school governing body associations and the educator unions. So at this stage, it has not gone out to the public. It's only for the discussion between these direct major stakeholders and the minister, which is scheduled to take place on the 27th of January. And it was only these stakeholders that had been given opportunity until the 15th of January to make submissions to the minister regarding the present draft that was given to us. It's not gone public yet, so people can relax for the time being until we've had the discussion with the minister and her officials. And we're hoping that the minister and her senior officials will see the light, because every single governing body association, every single educator union at this stage is opposed to that particular amendment regarding the appointment of principals and deputy principals. And we're hoping that the document that would eventually go public will be different from the one we've been given.
Paul, it seems like I'll have my third conversation with you within a month. I will certainly speak after the 27th of January. Thank you very much for your time this morning.